God is good all the time. I'd like to throw something else out there. Satan is bad
all the time.
All the time. Amen. That is true. And this life isn't easy. I don't know if you realize that. Sometimes life gets a hold of you and the weight of responsibility is heavy. And there's burdens that we bear and we carry. And as a church, we are to carry each other. But life isn't easy. If someone told you once that you're going to follow Jesus and your life is going to be easy, they're wrong. Yeah, the life isn't easy just because you follow Jesus. Yes, He is with you. There is promise of that He is good and that He gives you joy and He gives you peace and He gives you patience and He gives you long-suffering, all those type things. But He doesn't promise easy. Actually, John 16, verse 33, it says, "I have said these things to you, that in Me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome this world." Jesus has overcome this world, but yet we will still have times of hardship. But may our hope not be rooted in the things of hardship or the things of this world, but may we take root in Jesus Christ, who He is our hope. And because of what He did thousands of years ago, we can have life. We no longer have death, but there is resurrection, and we are the hope of glory. For those who haven't been a part of the last several weeks, we have been going through the book of Colossians, and we're in Colossians 3. We'll be starting with verse 17 this morning. But, last week we talked about, just to give a little recap of what that was about last week, we talked about putting off the old self. The old self that is known for sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, those type things, and to put away things that we hold against other people like anger and wrath and malice and slander and obscene talk. But then we're to put on compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And we talked about how love is the binding force that holds all that together. And today we're going to talk about what's next. You know, as I read scripture, I try to imagine what the early readers of this letter would have thought. Maybe they would have thought, well, as they went through this put on your new self passage, then they got to the end of that paragraph, and they're like, okay, well what's next? Paul, we get that. Like, we want to put on our new self. We want to be in Christ. Like, they were passionate about Jesus Christ. They wanted to follow Him. These are committed followers of Jesus Christ that are getting taught all different kinds of things from the world and from religion, but yet they want to make sure that they are rooted in Christ. And Paul is reminding them over and over of these things, you know, to put Christ above all else, that He is the Almighty. He is above everything. But then maybe they've read this and they're like, okay, well, how do I apply this? What is next? Like, I get this, but what does it look like in my everyday life? And I think many of us probably process things. Maybe you hear sermons. Maybe you hear Bible studies. You're reading the Word yourself and you're like, okay, well, how do I apply this? What Paul takes us into this passage is how to apply it in their everyday life. Because in this society, the household is really like the pin that holds society together. Like, things function in the everyday through the household. And how order was formed was in that household, and it affected society. And so we will be in verse 17. We're picking up there, and I'm doing that intentionally. But see, the thing is that, you know, as we think about this, as Paul begins to unpack this, there's a It's really hard sometimes to live out our faith with our closest relationships. Sure, you can come and put on your Sunday best, which, you know, we say here at our church that we're a come as you are church. So Sunday best, you know, whatever, you come as you are. Leave changed, of course, by Jesus Christ. But sometimes it's really hard to really practice faith and to live out your faith in your closest relationship. But yet, Paul says this is where it starts. Start in your closest relationships. And so we'll pick up in verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. We start there because we want to glorify Him above all else. And everything that we say, think, or do. Then he goes on, he says, wives, submit to your husbands as it is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, you work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, for the wrongdoer will be paid back the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. So that's a lot to take in, you know, as we enter into this passage, and what, you know, there's certain language that might get us uncomfortable, but today I want to encourage you to find purpose in our work, in our family, and in our mundane life through Jesus Christ. We work for Him, for His glory, for His honor, and for His fame. In our marriages, we work for His glory, His honor, and His fame. As we parent, as we grandparent, it's for His glory, for His honor, and for His fame. Last year, I preached on this passage. Towards the beginning of the fall last year, we were doing a revival series, and I preached on revival and having a revived family. And I was contemplating on, should I even spend time in this passage since I've covered that? But the Holy Spirit just really told me, like, no, I want you to spend time there. And so, you know, if you want to go back and listen to that sermon, you can. You can find it online. We have all our sermons online. For the past year at danriverwestland.com /sermons if you need to go there and listen to that. But today I want to focus on one aspect of this. We ended last week on glorifying God, and I want to stay there, glorifying God in all that we do as we apply it to our own families. Who is first in your life? Who is holding it all together? How do you order your life? Who is first? As we unpack this, we have to address some of the things that's going on here. See, family life was different back then. You know, it was, as the writing of this letter, I mean, this is, you know, family structure was structured in certain ways, even leading up to this letter here that Paul is addressing. But the reality is in this culture, is that women did not have many rights, that children did not have many rights, that slaves did not have many rights, and many times they were considered property. Now, that is not the society that we live in. And that is not the way of God. For we are all made in the image of Christ. In the image of God, we were created, male and female. And God loves every one of us equally. There is no hierarchy in the system here. But this was the way society was functioning, and Paul comes and addresses how the society was functioning and how to apply it in society. You know, we hear slave, you know, and bond servant. But it was different than what we think of. When we think of those terms, we typically think of American slavery and how it was then. Or even we might think of how slavery is around the world today. But it was different. It's not the same in this context. Actually, it's really hard to give a good description of how it was because we can't really apply it to our day and age because it was a lot different. A lot of people compare it with jobs and our relationship with employer to employee. But really, that falls short to truly what it was, because if you were indebted, okay, and you had to pay off your debt, then you would sell yourself into to pay off this debt. We don't really do that in our day and age. There's glimpses of that, right? Credit card companies, right? But we don't truly live that out. But I want to be clear that this isn't condoning slavery. It's not, because we tend to read through a lens of Western eyes. Well, we got to throw off those lenses and read like the original audience would have interpreted it. It was a different way of doing things. But see, it says to wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Now, this isn't saying that this is some form of hierarchy. What it is saying is that we are to love one another, to go and serve one another, to bow before one another and say, listen, how can I serve you? Whenever we make commitments in marriage, we are committing to becoming one. And so it's no longer Dustin's life and that's all it's about. Right now, I'm young, right? I'm still figuring it out. but in a marriage relationship, it's no longer I, but us. Going on down to children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And then Paul goes and he addresses fathers. And that was a big no-no in that day. Like, you don't read in letters, you know, in this century that they were speaking so directly and so sometimes frank, you know, to the fathers. But Paul is saying, listen, you need to address this because this is going on in our society, right? In this society, how are you loving? How are you parenting? How are you there, you know, taking care of one another? And so we have to unpack that before we truly can go forward, is to understand how this is about. And I started with verse 17 because in everything that we do, see, some of us are single here this morning. And the reality is that some of you should be single. We live in a culture, we live in a culture in church culture where we put marriage on top, right? Like we flaunt marriage, and there's people that look at marriage and are like, oh, I just got to get married. I'm looking for that one right person. The reality is that not everybody is supposed to be married. So I want to take that weight of responsibility off of you. Okay? God might be calling you to be single, and that is okay. Right? So in your singleness, in your marriage, in your job, in your homes, in adoptions, in parenting, in being a widow or widower, whatever it is, do it all for the glory of God. Your household needs to be orderly. That is what Paul is saying here, is that there needs to be some form of order to your house. Your relationships need to be above reproach in terms of what you can do that won't dishonor God, so that people outside of the Christian faith, Christian community, will be able to look at it and admire and appreciate how you order your life. What would people say about your household? Is it chaos? Is it order? Even more important is, what would God say about your household? For he is the ultimate judge. We are not. What we are to do is to put God first. Put God first above all else. God first, not your kids. We live in a day where I'm telling you, I see parents and I see my friends, boy, they are putting their children above all else. They got them involved in all kinds of things to the point where it's like, hey, like, do y'all ever spend time together? Do y'all ever eat a meal together? Like, do they ever see you going on dates with your wife? Those type things going on. Your children are not the center of your life. And I tell my children, you're not the center of this universe. They need to know that. They need to hear that. That this world doesn't revolve around them. But who does it revolve around? God. At least that should be the answer to your order of your life. Is God first? Is God first above all else? In Colossians 1, verse 18, we spent time the first week that we entered this series. Says this, He, Jesus, is also head of the body, the church, which this passage is addressing the church and how we are to function in our household, in our communities. And he says this, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And catch this, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Is he first place in everything? If you are living for self, then he is no longer first place. Earlier in this series, I talked about how, you know, we can go out and you see, there used to be this bumper sticker, you don't see them very often anymore, that Jesus is my co-pilot. There lies the problem. You're allowing him to sit in the passenger seat when you need to allow him to be the driver, him to be the guide, him to be the center, him to be the first and first place of your life. Put him first above all else in your life and everything else will fall into place. Now, am I saying that you put God first in your life and you're going to live in prosperity and you're going to have, you know, two cars and they're going to be really nice and they're going to be a nice truck that's lifted, you know, and you're going to have a, you know, 3,000 square foot house? No, I'm not saying that. That's prosperity gospel and I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that all things will fall into place is that you will get joy, you will get peace, you will get different fruits of the Spirit that's given to you. And Jesus will be your guide if you allow him to be. See, most of our problems come in this life because we live in disorder. You look around. You look on the news. There's disorder. God's not first. You look in homes. God's not first. When we don't have him first in our lives, we get chaos. I know this because that was me. That was me. Many of you have heard my testimony, and I'll share it again today, a short version of it. When I was 13, I was riding four-wheelers. I drove up on a scene, a party scene, and there was beer and all kinds of things laid out from the night before. And me and my buddy who were riding four-wheelers got off. And I picked up this magazine. And I started flipping through it. And it was a Playboy magazine. And I remember looking at that and being fixated on what I was seeing. I became addicted. Turned to pornography on the computer. By 14, I was having sex with girls and doing different things that I shouldn't be doing. I was addicted to sex. By 17 years old, I had already slept with six different women because I was living in chaos. I was living for myself. I was indulging the passion of this world. Sex before marriage. I was lying. I was stealing. I was partying. I was doing all these things because I was fixated on me. I was the center. I was on top. And many people would have saw me and thought, man, he's got it together. Like, people like him in school. Like, he's a pretty neat guy. Like, I like to be around him. But I'll tell you, deep down inside of me, I was hollow. Like, I was losing it. I didn't have it all together. And until Jesus Christ came into my life, and I made him my Savior and my Lord, and I gave him complete control of my life, it completely changed my life. And it can completely change your life too. Whenever I was young in the faith, there was my mentor, the one who was discipling me, he pointed me to this verse, and it's one that I keep coming back to over and over again, and it's Matthew 6, verse 33. It says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything that you need will be added unto you." Now, some people like to confuse that and over-spiritualize things. Like, if you follow God, then all these type things, right, of this world are going to be added to you. But once again, no, it's about love, it's about joy, it's about peace. And I'm telling you, I started to focus on the things of above. I started to focus on his kingdom and giving him reign over my life, and it completely changed my life. So how's your order? Have you given Jesus complete reign of your life? What's the order of your life? For me, it's God first. My marriage, my wife Hannah, she's second. Third is my children. And fourth is my job. God, marriage, family, job. You've heard me say it before, is that I am a pastor fourth. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't value being your pastor. I love being your pastor. It's not saying that I don't want to be there for you. No, I am there for you. And I hope that you realize that. Like, I try my best to be there for you. But the reality is, you can go throughout Scripture, especially the New Testament, and see that one's order of life needs to be God first, marriage, family, then job. But many in our world, their identity is on what they do. Your identity is found, well, I'm a pastor. I'm a teacher. I'm a mechanic. First and foremost, that is not you. You're not known by what you do first. Ultimately, if you have God first in your life, then you will be known first and foremost as a child of God. That should be the most important identity that you have, is that I am a son or I am a daughter in Christ. God is first. Is that the case with your life this morning? Now, some of you might be thinking, well, I'm single. I don't have any kids. What does that mean for me? Well, look, who's first in your life? God first? Okay. Then maybe it's your family, your friendships, second, then your job or your hobbies, whatever follows that. The most important thing of any of that is that God is first. Is God first in your life? When you put God first in your life and you give him complete reign, everything else will fall into place. When you choose to live this God first life, you are making the choice to restore order. See, like I said, it's chaos. This world is known by chaos and turmoil and disorder. But as long as you rule your world, the weight of it will fall on your shoulders. Have you been carrying that weight this morning? But see, when you let God step in his rightful place and put him first in your life, the weight of the world falls on his shoulders. And what we know from the word is that he has overcome the world. In the end, he is the only one who is truly able to hold it in place. everything around us and within us tell us that the secret of happiness is a world where it's all about me. But Jesus consistently says the opposite. True success is not a world where it centers around us, but a world that centers around God. And my life is in proper order when He is first, when He is first place, because first place truly belongs to Him and Him alone. See, people in our day and age, especially in America, we pursue happiness over all else. Actually, if you look into the creeds of Americans, our independence and things like that, our documents says that the pursuit of happiness. What makes you happy? Follow it. For if it makes you happy, then you need to follow it. Well, I'm telling you this, the world can follow that wherever it leads, but if God isn't first, it will not make you happy. It will make you miserable. Tom Brady, who's New England Patriots quarterback, famous quarterback, he's won, I think, up to 6 Super Bowl rings now. A few years back, he was interviewed in 60 Minutes. He expressed both surprise and disappointment that his unquestionable fame and success had failed to bring him the satisfaction that he craved. Why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings at that time? He still thinks that there's something greater out there for me, he says. He was wondering out loud during the interview. I mean, maybe a lot of people would say this is what it is. This is great. I've reached my goal. This is the dream life that's for me. But then he says, there has to be more than this. There has to be more than this. And the interviewer looks at him and says, well, what's the answer? And Tom Brady says, I wish I knew. I wish I knew. Many of us might be searching for that and wishing you knew. The answer is Jesus, Jesus Christ. Putting God first in your life will bring ultimate fulfillment. When order is restored, blessings are released. You will receive blessings that overflow. Joy, even in the midst of mourning. Peace, even in the midst of turmoil that's fallen all around you. Which makes me think. Saturday morning at 3 in the morning, I'm woken up in my sleep. I was in a deep sleep, and I hear footsteps running up the stairs. And I wake up, you know, I'm like, okay, my daughters are, something's wrong. And all I hear after that is Palina say, water. And I run into my hallway, and I hear the sound, what sounds like a waterfall, literally. At 3 in the morning, what had happened was that our hot water line right underneath our kitchen sink had busted. And water, I'm talking about full-blown, just like waterfall, just pouring out, going down into our basement. And I go down, and I see that my basement is flooded. And I go immediately and turn off the water. But as 3 o'clock's happening, and we're looking and we're seeing all the damage that done, and you know, it's a house. There's people around this world that don't have houses. They don't have a roof over their heads. They don't have a place to sleep. What really upset us the most was there was a box of keepsakes that got wet, pictures that we'll never be able to replace. As Hannah was crying over those things, I couldn't help think, you know. But I get to go upstairs, and I get to get in a bed and sleep. And I have a wife that's next to me. That yes, we might go through times where it's hard, where we'll have to call our insurance company on Monday morning and say, listen, this happened. What's it going to be? What's the damage going to be? Yeah. But ultimately, God's first in our life. I've been robbed. But ultimately, God's first. I've walked away from jobs not knowing exactly what I was going to go into. But ultimately, God was first, and I was being faithful to His call. You might be in the midst of a time where you're like, man, this is just, life is horrible. But look at your life. Is God first? Because if God is first, He will see you through it. He will walk with you through it. He will walk with you all the way through it. When I'm counseling young couples in marriage, I talk about how they become one, and I draw a triangle on a piece of paper, and I say, if God is first and you are growing in your relationship with God, each one of you are growing closer to God. Ultimately, you are growing closer to one another. The reality is that's about relationships. When we put God in our life, our marriage starts to change. Will it be perfect? No. But as we grow closer to God and put Him first, then we start loving our wives like Christ loves the church. Husbands, start loving and dating your wives and putting them first above all else, you know, for your needs. Because God is your head. And you grow closer and closer to one another, and you're going closer and closer to God. Take that into other relationships. My kids, if I point them to God, and I am pointing myself to God, and I am keeping Him above all else, and I'm pointing them and raising them in the ways of the Lord, and I'm pointing them to Jesus Christ and making Him the center of their life, then ultimately my family is growing closer and closer to God. Take it even into the workplace. You're like, man, I don't like this job, right? I've worked some terrible jobs in my life, right? I've seen people that have, done all kinds of things, you know, from, you know, cleaning up toilets to pumping septic tanks and all different kinds of things. But the reality is that I've also seen them in the midst of those times. I've seen Christians that will put on a smile, because they consider it joy even whenever they're going through those tough times. So maybe you're in a tough job right now. Maybe you're in a tough job right now. But if you put God first above all else, ultimately people will see you at work, and ultimately they will go and see that they are closer to the presence of God because they are encountering you. See, I love what the end of this chapter 2 is, that the wrongdoers will be paid back for wrong that he has done. But the thing is that our relationship with Jesus Christ isn't dictated by other people's relationships. Whether somebody does you wrong in the workforce, God can still be one in your life, and people can still see you for who you are as a child of God. May your identity be found in the Father. And may God be first in everything that you do. When we order our lives, when we put God first, order is restored. Blessing is release, and blessing and ultimate happiness is the byproduct of order. So where is your order? Is God first in your life? God, I thank you so much, God, for all that you're doing in our church. God, may us as a church continue to put you first in our life. But God, may we also apply it into our marriages, into our friendships, into our jobs. And God, may we follow you ultimately, not follow the ways of this world. God, I pray that you would continue to do work in in the seats, God, right now, in the pews, God. I pray that you would continue to work on the lives of people here this morning. God, I thank you so much for Junior right up here. God, I know that you're doing a work in his life, God. I pray that you continue to do so. And God, as we sing this last song, God, I pray that it would bring glory and honor to you. But God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would go before us right now. And God, that you would convict those who need conviction. And God, you would comfort those who need comforting. It's in Jesus' name, amen. The altar is still open. God is still moving. And we're going to end with this song called Build My Life. And I encourage you to look at your life this morning. Amen.